It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Still going. Good night. Touchdown.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Friday, June 19th edition of Overtime. It is the start of hour number two on the ultimate show of the week. High Noon Showdown on the way. We've got Jared on line one, and we're waiting for some competition. If you would like to get in on a big prize pack, 605-362-3776. This is the number to dial. We'll hook you up with some Rock the Country tickets and so much more. Also, I'm letting the cat out of the bag. Generational talent on display in Minnesota coming up in the middle of next week, Wednesday, June the 24th. The night of Wednesday, June the 24th at 6:40 p.m., the L.A. Dodgers and some dude named Shohei Ohtani will be in town to take on the Twins. If you would like to go, dial me up. A four-pack of tickets up for grabs right now in the High Noon Showdown, 605-362-3776. That number to dial, there you go. Somehow a lot of Dodger fans apparently dialing us up in the Sioux Empire. Line number two, you're on with Overtime. Welcome into the High Noon Showdown. What's your name? Let me pot you up. That would be helpful. You're on with Overtime. What's your name?
Brian.
Brian, I appreciate the call. Brian, you're going to be on list A. Let me patch you together with the other contestant, Jared, who chose his questions from list B. So conference button together, caller one, caller two, should be ready to rumble. Brian and Jared, time to duke it out on this week's edition for a big prize pack on the High Noon Showdown.
Put 'em up.
Are you out of your mind? Because we could go to war. I'm for real. So you better check yourself.
Doesn't have to be a fight in the parking lot. Although we'd love to see that, actually. It's time to duke it out in this week's edition of the High Noon Showdown.
The High Noon Showdown is always brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed's Specialty Meats. Elevate your grill game at Uncle Ed's on the east side of Sioux Falls. We're also playing for a two-pack of Rock the Country tickets. Not this weekend, but next weekend's two-day concert at the fairgrounds and some Twins tickets against the L.A. Dodgers. That ball game Wednesday of next week, 6:40 the start time at beautiful Target Field. Jared is on the line. He chose his list. He's on list B. Jared, we're going to play some geography here centered around the World Cup. You tell me what continent this country, this team belongs to. What continent is the country of the Ivory Coast in? Jared, what do you think? Hey, we got to turn down the radios, fellas. But Jared, I'll give you a second. Turn down the radios. Jared, what continent is the Ivory Coast in? Jared, are you there?
Argentina.
Argentina, not correct. The continent is Africa that the Ivory Coast is in. How, Brian, your question similar. What continent does Ecuador belong to? Ecuador, what continent is that country in?
South America.
South America. Ding, ding, ding. Brian, you're moving on here. Let's talk about the NFL supplemental draft. Brendan Sorsby, very likely to be in the supplemental draft next month. We'll talk about some supplemental draft picks in recent memory, where they went to college. Josh Gordon, wide receiver, played for the Browns, played for the Patriots, played for the Seahawks, many other landing spots. Where did he play college football before entering the supplemental draft, Brian? Brian, I need an answer from you.
Tennessee.
Tennessee, not correct. He went to Baylor. Jared, your question might be a little easier. A quarterback turned wide receiver, Terrell Pryor. Where did he play his college football? He was also a supplemental draft pick.
Ohio State.
Ohio State is correct. We're tied at 1-1. Jared, you can take the lead here if you can give me this correct answer. What team won the NFC South last season in the National Football League?
Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Panthers is correct. Similar question for Brian. Brian, what team won the AFC South last year?
Texans.
The Texans is not correct. It was the Jacksonville Jaguars who won the division with a record of 13-4, which means Jarrett rising from the ashes, my friend. You're our big winner. Congratulations. Hang on the line or give me a call back. I will get you hooked up with your prize pack and those twin tickets. Jarrett, job well done today.
Thank you.
All right, Jarrett, our big winner in the High Noon Showdown. Our tiebreaker, by the way. My son commented to me the other night, we were watching the magenta jerseys of South Korea, and he says, Dad, there sure are a lot of players on the field in soccer. Yeah, there are, son. The tiebreaker was, how many players are on the field at one time per team in a World Cup soccer match? And that question, that answer is 11. We didn't need the tiebreaker, but I work hard on them. Jarrett, our big winner. Jarrett, I got your info, but do need an email address for you to get you access to those Minnesota Twins tickets. Also, Jarrett winning some things that go snap, crackle, pop, boom, and bang. $40 in Pyro Bucks to Pyro City, just south of Sioux Falls at the I-29T fireworks exit. That certificate can be used from June 27th through July the 5th. And again, as always, enjoy responsibly. That's the High Noon Showdown. Jarrett, our big winner. Let's dive into our scorecard. Still to come, latest from the NFL. More concerning news on the Minnesota Vikings stadium roof. It's not caving in with snow like the Metrodome, but there's some hail damage that is going to force a massive repair project of US Bank Stadium. We'll get you that news and so much more later on this hour, as well as the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, things have been great lately for the Minnesota Twins. They're doing well. They're playing hard, and we got to be proud of this team. Yes, they're below 500. No, they're not likely to make a playoff run, but I'm not counting them out. And we'll wait and see about the trade deadline. If that inspires confidence or inspires some negativity around the team, that remains to be seen. But what is being seen lately is hot starts for Minnesota, good pitching recovery, run assistance and more, and everybody's taken notice of how quickly the Twins have gotten on the board. Yesterday, a very lucrative opening frame for Minnesota on the road.
Here's the 0-1 pitch, a swing and a fly ball to right, Nimmo back, he will turn, that's going to be a home run! A three-run homer pulled over the wall and right, almost the same spot where the ball landed off Cody Clemens' bat on Tuesday. It's a two-out, three-run blast from Brooks Lee, and the Twins have a 4-0 lead here in the first inning.
That's Corey Provis on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. All things considered, ended up being a sweep of the Texas Rangers in Arlington. 9-3 the final yesterday, 36-40 the new record for Minnesota. Joe Ryan got his win, fifth of the year. Here's manager Derek Shelton on how much Ryan was battling and grinding yesterday.
The execution was a little bit scattered. I thought the stuff was good. It was just he was missing by a ball or two, and then they fouled a ton of balls off, and you have to give him credit. But the fact that he battled the way he did through the first three, I was really pleased that he was able to get us through five.
And more from Shelty here, just on the overall team effort and another sweep, another series win for Minnesota moves their record to 36-40.
Our offense did a good job. They came in and they put pressure on from, you know, sometimes the first hitter of the game, but throughout, and then they continued that on. Kreidler hitting the home run late. I thought we did a nice job running the bases, but overall, just a really good team offensive effort throughout the series. Everybody contributed.
Minnesota 36-40. Other finals yesterday, Cleveland beat Milwaukee 4-2. White Sox over the Yankees 5-1. And Kansas City beats up St. Louis 14-6. Royals still struggling, 31-45, the new record. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Blue Jays at the Cubs 1:20 start time. White Sox at Tigers, Brewers at Braves, Guardians at Astros, Cardinals visit the Royals, Rockies host the Pirates, Twins open up a three-game series in Arizona tonight, 8 o'clock pregame, 8:45, the official game start time, and you can listen to the game, as always, right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Tonight's game you can also see on Apple TV. In the WNBA last night, Atlanta beat Indiana 108-101. And tonight in the WNBA, Lynx are in action out at Golden State against the Valkyries, 9 o'clock on ION. The NBA news of the day. We're talking retrospectively about a first-time champion in over 50 years. That's the New York Knicks. Mark Zeno of ESPN Radio talking about the mistake it would be if the Knicks rest on their laurels and don't tinker with their roster this offseason.
If the Knicks believe that running it back again is the answer, they're dead wrong. You cannot win it again when you stay the same and everybody else gets better. It's not how it works in sports anymore. Running it back is a recipe for disappointment, not success. They have to make moves to make this team better because they are not the best team in the NBA. We all know that. They played the best basketball. They had the most incredible run of any team in the history of the league, but they are not the best team.
They are not the best team, so they need to accentuate the roster, find ways to get a little bit better, and we'll see about their priorities. Mitchell Robinson, Landry Shamet, and others are up in the air. And then, of course, Karl-Anthony Towns' contract and future with the organization also in question moving forward into a busy offseason. Let's talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo and the potential fit in Boston. Might end up being a trade that deals Jaylen Brown to Milwaukee. Here is Emmett Golden on that potential maneuver and what it would say for both teams.
If that trade does go down, it's only a good trade for Boston because, I mean, what does Brown have out in Milwaukee? They're, you know what I'm saying? They're a lottery team. I don't think he would be excited about that. So I don't know. Like, he may want his own team. I don't think he won his own lottery team, though.
It would be pretty darn interesting if it is Boston, the team that buys Giannis Antetokounmpo, and what is given in exchange, if it's Derek White, premium picks, third team involved, or if it is a Jaylen Brown. It would be an interesting teardown of a team that is not too far removed from winning a title with Brown and Tatum as the stars of the show, and now might end up retooling that roster out there in Boston. We'll wait and see. Boston in the mix. Miami Heat, the other team to really watch in the sweepstakes of one Giannis Antetokounmpo. Let's talk moving forward about the L.A. Lakers. Dave McMenamin saying the Lakers have really promised to build this team around Luka Doncic, and this offseason is the time to fulfill that promise.
Since he was traded from the Mavericks to the Lakers, I had a source tell me close to Doncic that they've been, well, wants to be a part of a championship team. Yesterday, ever since the trade, they always told us summer 2026 will show you in the summer of 26. Oh. So here we are, so excited that the summer of 26 is here.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, that's putting the pressure solely on the Lakers front office.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do our part. We were the leading scorer in the NBA this year. We were the MVP of the league. We're going to be fully healthy coming into next year. Now, give me a roster that I can win a championship with.
There you go. Interesting offseason ahead for the LA Lakers. Will they retain the services of LeBron James? Can they retain the services? And if they don't have LeBron on their roster anymore, what kind of flexibility would that give them to go out and get some other ancillary pieces to really pour in and build around Luka Doncic? Over to the NFL, Mike Tannenbaum, former NFL general manager, putting us in the GM's mind this week as Brendan Sorsby reportedly set to be in the supplemental draft. What are some good fits for Sorsby's services? Mike Tannenbaum going off the beaten path with some contending teams and rosters with this one.
I think it's a non-obvious team, and I'll be specific here. Detroit, Philadelphia. A couple of years ago, Carson Wentz entrenched as the quarterback of the Eagles. Second round, Jalen Hurts. How'd that turn out? Super Bowl winning quarterback. If you're the Eagles and you know you're going to be a good team, or the Lions, and you're drafting towards the bottom in the second round, and you draft Brandon Sorsby and say, hey, look, Brandon, here's the deal. You're coming in on a one-day contract, and if you go to counseling and you go to meetings and you're a great teammate, you're going to come back tomorrow. And we're going to stack one good day on top of the next. And next August, if he has an unbelievable preseason, do you know what you'd be able to trade him for? Or maybe you're sitting there with your franchise quarterback. Okay. And then when you look at the Packers, right? They had Favre. They drafted Rodgers. Mm-hmm. They had Rodgers. They drafted Jordan Love. Any of those organizations, someone's going to look at this as an unexpected opportunity.
It pays to plan ahead. We'll see about Brendan Sorsby and what the overall acumen is, the ability is, where the NFL views him. And also, of course, there is that gigantic red flag in Sorsby's past about betting on a ton of different sporting events and college football and his own team that was largely swept under the rug in the college game. It was up for debate whether or not he'd be eligible. Now that's off the table. That's great for college football. But now is the NFL's problem. How will that problem be perceived? And the NFL teams, there'll be a wide swath of opinions here. Some teams saying, we're not even going to respond. We're not even sending anything in. And other teams ponying up for Sorsby's services because quarterbacks are that darn valuable in the National Football League.
There's a lot of people in the league that I've talked to that say, like, the one line you can't cross is gambling on your own team.
Mm-hmm.
That's a death penalty. And there's the other segment that's like, well, wait a second. This is a young man who never been on a game he played in, no evidence that he ever tried to throw a game, grew up with a phone, and had all this information thrown at him from sports betting. And if he's hanging out with a bunch of buddies who could do this all legally, clearly he broke a rule. He should be held accountable. But he may be a franchise quarterback. There is a mindset in the NFL that if Hannibal Lecter ran a 4.3, somebody would say, oh, that's just an eating disorder.
That's one heck of a comparison from Mike Tannenbaum. Brendan Sorsby, though, yes, there will be a few teams that will ignore the clear red flag of gambling addiction for Brendan Sorsby. And again, we're not making light of that addiction at all. We really earnestly hope that he's made the most of that opportunity to reclaim himself and go beyond that addiction. But regardless of that, that being in his past does remain a red flag for a lot of teams and probably even for the interested teams in the National Football League. Can we get him the help he needs? Can we put him in an environment for him to thrive and succeed and grow? And maybe be a starter one day, maybe be trade bait one day. We'll see about the future of Brendan Sorsby. Certainly a unexpected offseason storyline weaving the worlds of college and pro football together. That's the latest from the National Football League. For you race fans, the NASCAR race this weekend is at San Diego. Road course on Sunday, 3 o'clock, Prime Video and HBO. And from the world of the U.S. Open, and then the lead was down to just 3. And probably whittling down from there, if we're being honest. Wyndham Clark was 7 under moments ago, and the nearest golfer was 2 under. It was a 5-stroke margin. Now, Wyndham Clark is 6 under through 17, even on the day, and he's got 2 different golfers nipping at his heels at 3 under par. Before too long, we will see Scottie Scheffler tee it up later on this afternoon. And then also Rory McIlroy getting underway before too long as well. It's going to be a very interesting fight to the finish. Scheffler 2 over, Rory currently 1 under. So both within striking distance, and both have yet to even tee it up today. A lot of holes ahead of them to make some hay. And Wyndham Clark out to an early lead, 6 under. That feels like a vulnerable lead in day number 2 of the U.S. Open. College World Series final is set over the weekend, Saturday night, 7 o'clock. We'll see game number 1 of the best of 3 final between Oklahoma and North Carolina. Sunday, game 2 is at 1:30 on ABC. And game 3, Monday night, if necessary, will be 6 o'clock on ESPN. The FIFA World Cup roaring again yesterday with 4 different matches going final. Czechia drew with South Africa 1-1. Switzerland beat Bosnia-Herzegovina 4-1. Canada beat Qatar 6-0. First ever World Cup victory for the Canadians. And Mexico out to a 2-0 start. They get a goaltender gaffe from South Korea. Plenty of scoring chances for Team Mexico. They find a way beyond South Korea 1-0. And today at the World Cup, USA on display, 2 o'clock Fox against Australia in Seattle at the home of the Seattle Seahawks, Lumen Field. The get-in price reported right around $1,800. This morning for that game, USA and Australia, 2 o'clock coverage on Fox. Scotland faces Morocco, 5 o'clock this afternoon on Fox. Brazil and Haiti, 7:30 on Fox. And Turkey and Paraguay, 10 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. Let's dive right into your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number 2. We start down in Vermilion. Anna Willis wrapped up a historic sophomore season at USD with a 3rd-place finish at the NCAA Championships last week and has been named the Summit League Women's Outdoor Field Athlete of the Year. Willis was the highest-placing Summit League athlete at the event on the men's or women's side at the NCAA Championships, a 3rd-place finish in the women's pole vault, had strong performances all year long, placing inside the top 3 at each meet, and this is USD's 7th Outdoor Field Athlete of the Year. On the women's side, there will be 1 more competition on Willis's calendar this summer. She will be in New York for the United States Championships coming up next month. Up the road in Brookings, where you can find this news, GoJacks.com, that South Dakota State University athletic officials have scheduled the groundbreaking ceremony for the future home of the South Dakota State women's soccer program. This will take place on July the 28th. It's open to the public beginning at 4:30, and a social hour will follow the event starting at approximately 5 o'clock. The ceremony follows the significant gift provided by Dakota Layers LLC and the Ramsdell family that was previously announced back in November. The gift is the largest investment on record for a women's only initiative for SDSU athletics. You can make it a part of your calendar over the summer, July 28th. GoJacks.com for the full details. And for those of you worried, biting up the fingernails about Byron Buxton divorcing the Minnesota Twins, I would say stop. Amid speculation that he could be dealt ahead of the trade deadline, which is still more than a month away, it's August 3rd, Minnesota center fielder and possible Twins lifer Byron Buxton reiterated Thursday, "I'm a Twin." Buxton, who is hitting 270 with 23 homers and 36 RBI in 64 games this year, still has 2 years left on an $100 million contract he signed with Minnesota back in December of 21. Asked about his name being floated around in trade rumors, Buxton told The Athletic, "I don't give a bleep. End of the day, nobody's in my shoes. Nobody can say anything about what I'm going to do. I know what I'm doing. The only way I'm getting out of here, they're going to have to come talk to me and tell me something else. Simple as that. I ain't said nothing about leaving, nor will I. I'm a Twin." You gotta love the team loyalty. Any sport, when you have a star or even a trade deadline candidate, which Buxton, make no mistake about it, is a star, one of the leaders in homers this year. And this is back-to-back seasons of remarkable above-average health by Byron Buxton's early career standards. Anytime you have somebody like that stand by their team and say, "No, I'm not going anywhere. I love it here." Makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside. Also helps that Buxton really, really darn good. And as a Twins fan, there are certain times over the last 2, 3, 4 years where you say, "Oh man, this is tough. Another long losing streak. No playoffs here, no playoffs there." But there is a bright spot or two on the roster where you say, "Yeah, but we got that guy." Byron Buxton is that guy for Twins fans, and reportedly sticking around directly from the horse's mouth, Byron Buxton saying, "I'm a Minnesota Twin." Those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number two. When we come back, it's time to dive into the NFL news of the day, which is not great news for the home of the Minnesota Vikings. You remember the Metrodome roof collapse with the snow coming into the football field back in Brett Favre's day? Well, now there's some hail damage on U.S. Bank Stadium's roof. That's right, 2023. Reportedly with the storm damage, and now they're assessing and finding, working through insurance, and a large swath of the roof will need to be replaced. We'll get you the latest on that story and so much more coming up next as we continue marching on in this Friday, June 19th edition of Overtime right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
ESPN Sioux Falls gets you back to more of Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this week-ending edition of Overtime. Rainy, nasty, yucky Seattle weather in a game in which we're going to be watching from Seattle later on this afternoon. Team USA, hopefully they don't have any rain on their parade. They're taking on Australia in the World Cup, 2 o'clock on Fox. Team USA is favored to win, and if they do win, can go ahead and lock up a spot to advance. That means a top three spot in the group, maybe top two, depending on the other movers and shakers. But Team USA certainly in a really good spot following an opening round victory over Paraguay. Also in their group, Turkey and Paraguay will collide later on tonight, 10 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. Well, let's talk about Minnesota sports venues. Harkening back to the day, December 12th of 2010, due to the weight of 17 inches of snow combined with high winds, the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome roof collapsed on that day, December 12th of 2010, causing significant damage. But thankfully, no injuries. Now, the Minnesota Vikings' new, shiny, beautiful stadium has been home to Minnesota since 2016, remains one of the best top-tier venues in the NFL, has some damage of its own. That's right. According to Pro Football Talk yesterday, recent damage sustained during a storm will reportedly force the franchise to repair the roof of the venue in the near future. According to Pro Football Talk, Elliot Hughes of the Minnesota Star Tribune noting a, quote, sizable swath of the roof at U.S. Bank Stadium must be replaced due to damage from a hailstorm. The storm, which happened back in August of 2023, included hail as large as 2.5 inches in diameter. Although the report isn't entirely clear, it appears the entire translucent portion, that's see-through for you and me, makes up 60% of the full roof, will be removed and replaced. You can find that article at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Tough news, but again, no real details as of yet about the when it needs to be replaced by. But it does appear that it'll be limited cost for taxpayers, limited cost for the Vikings, mostly covered by insurance, as noted in that article. Well, everybody loves an underdog story. That's why there's some people rooting for a return to the football field for Brendan Sorsby, now into the NFL. Supplemental draft not yet scheduled, but should be coming up in July. Hunter Deckers has had his own similar-ish story to Brendan Sorsby. That's well noted for the Haywarden, Iowa native, former Iowa State star, former Iowa Western Reaver star and stud, was an undrafted free agent signing with the Saints last year. Made it through the season, member of the practice squad, went and played in the UFL for the Houston Gamblers, and then now is back in the National Football League. Decker spent last season on the Saints practice squad, most recently with the Gamblers in the UFL, and now is signing again with the New Orleans Saints. He played in 5 games with the Gamblers this past year, made 4 starts, was 2-2 as a starter, completed 62% of his passes, 3 touchdown passes, and 2 rushing touchdowns for Hunter Deckers, as his NFL dream is back on, and we're rooting for the resurgence of the Haywarden, Iowa native. Other quarterback news to get to, a lot to quarterback news to talk about. 2 things can be true, according to Rob Domofsky at ESPN.com. When it comes to Tyrod Taylor's NFL career, he probably never imagined that he'd play this long, but he also never thought he would be this hard to get back to a Super Bowl after making it to one as a backup in year number 2 with the Baltimore Ravens. The Green Bay Packers not only have given him a chance to play a 16th NFL season, but perhaps to cap his career with a Super Bowl. In exchange, the team hopes Taylor can provide valuable insurance for starter Jordan Love, who is entering his 4th year as the Packers starter and 7th year in the NFL. 16 years in, I was fortunate enough to be part of a Super Bowl winning team in year 2, Taylor said, hearkening back to the 2012 season with the Ravens. Over the course of the career, you realize how hard it is to get back. You definitely try to look for teams that have the best talent, but it doesn't always win championships as well. It's about the nucleus. It's about the chemistry. And obviously, it's about staying healthy. Every team this time of year feels like they have the pieces to do so. It's about putting in the work day in and day out, keeping the right mindset. I think the guys in this locker room have the right mindset to achieve what we all want to achieve. Tyrod Taylor, just so hard to understand what the position of quarterback is if you really haven't done it, right? And he's done it, been there, and he's been through it. Coach Hackett has coached some amazing quarterbacks, just a smart mind. And Coach LaFleur's coached amazing quarterbacks, a smart mind as well. Carson Beck surrounded by some pretty good football minds. We'll see if he can meet the moment. And also, we'll see if the Cardinals are a team that comes calling for a Carson Beck competitor in Brendan Sorsby next month in a supplemental draft to be determined. Watch that. Last year, a colossal disappointment, not just for Daniels, but the Commanders and their fan base. They went to the NFC title game, and then they didn't make the playoffs last year. A lot of concern moving forward. Jaden Daniels, a rock-solid piece of the puzzle in D.C. Speaking of pieces of the puzzle, Sauce Gardner making the news in the weirdest way just yesterday. The rest of the world seems uncertain about exactly the age of Sauce Gardner, but the Colts cornerback has no questions about it. During a recent back and forth with reporters about his leadership role as a veteran defender, he pointed out that he's still pretty young. I'm 24, by the way. That might have surprised quite a few people because in many corners of the internet, which always tells the truth, we know that, Gardner is listed as being 25 years old. Somewhere along the way, it became accepted as fact that Gardner was born August 31st of 2000. It says as much in his number of online references, including his profiles on ESPN, Pro Football Focus, and Yahoo Sports. But as it turns out, Gardner saying he was actually born on August 31st of 2001. Like he said, he's 24 years old. The Colts website at NFL.com reflect the 2001 birthday. Gardner saying yesterday, it's crazy. I'm having to say this once again. Saying, I am 24 years old, and that should inspire even more confidence that Sauce Gardner could be a long-term asset to that Colts secondary. Interesting scenario there, a mistake across the board, 25 years old. Sauce Gardner saying, nah, I am 24 as of yesterday. That's the latest and greatest NFL news. When we come back, we'll round out the show the only way we know how. We'll dip right in to the good, the bad, and the ugly as we say so long to the day and the week of the show. A reminder, Friday Parlay is posted up live. Find it on Twitter. Enter to win a big prize pack as always. We'll have some more. A four-pack of Dodger tickets to give away early next week. The Dodgers in town middle of the week next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The Wednesday game, I got a four-pack of tickets remaining to give away at the beginning of next week. You want to go, keep it on your calendar. I would love to be able to hook you and friends and family up with a four-pack of tickets to see Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers and all that payroll lose to the Minnesota Twins next Wednesday night. The good, the bad, and the ugly coming up next as we say so long to the day and the week of the show right after this.
Get ESPN with the free app and online. Grab your phone or call us up on your smart device. Now let's get you back to overtime with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you to round out the day and the week. Edition of Overtime. It is time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Lot to get to here. Obviously, we already got to the ugly news yesterday from the U.S. Open that Joaquin Niemann, clownish behavior, throwing clubs around, a 7 over par on a single hole. One of us, as I said. Okay, I'm way worse than that, but still, you get the point. One of us, temper tantrums, swinging and missing, chucking clubs. Oh, dang it. If it wasn't for this or that or this or that, I'd be all pro. But regardless, that is ugly. We left that out of the good, the bad, and the ugly because we got uglier news to talk about. Let's dive right in to the latest and greatest in the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Who's been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and is now setting a bad example. Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right, well, good news first. The parade went off seemingly without a hitch yesterday. Jalen Brunson publicly ignored his critics throughout the Knicks' historic championship run, focusing instead on achieving his goal of delivering an elusive title to the Big Apple. But Thursday, surrounded by more than a million fans celebrating him and the Knicks' first title in 53 years, Brunson finally hit back at those that doubted him, saying during a celebration at New York City Hall, there are a lot of people that have a lot of negative stuff to say. There's a lot of people who have a lot of opinions. But when you prove them wrong, you don't really have to say anything to them. They don't deserve it. You gotta love that. If there was a time to open up your mouth and say things like that and respond and go after the people, and everybody's going to have something negative to say, especially when times are bad. Oh my gosh, Jalen Brunson, he doesn't deserve that. He's too small. He's not good enough. Then you summit the mountain and say, how you like me now? How do you like them apples? And you got to love that from Jalen Brunson. A great story to start us out for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Speaking of other great stories, Jonathan Toews, one of my personal favorites, announced his retirement as of today, ending a decorated NHL career that included 3 Stanley Cups, 2 Olympic golds, and a comeback season just this past year with his hometown, Winnipeg Jets. The 38-year-old center returned to the NHL just this past season after a 2-year absence related to chronic immune response syndrome and long COVID, recording 11 goals and 18 assists while appearing in 82 games for Winnipeg. Taver spent 15 years with the Chicago Blackhawks, captaining the franchise to Stanley Cup titles in 2010, 2013, and 2015, while winning the Conn Smythe Trophy as playoff MVP in 2010. Taver's job well done. Hell of a career. Enjoy retirement. 38-year-old calling it a career as of today. Also as of today, Green Bay doubling down on the contract with coach Doug Gottlieb in men's basketball, agreeing to a contract extension that takes his deal through 2031. Athletic director Josh Moon announced the extension this morning. The school did not release further financial details at this time. Excuse me. Other good news to get to, tough news to get to. Catch up to my voice here. Ace left-hander Tarek Skubal has made it clear as the Detroit Tigers continue to drop games and fall further out of contention, as the clock ticks down to the trade deadline in the beginning of August, play better baseball or else. Skubal will make his second start today since having an innovative surgical procedure back in early May to remove bone fragments from his elbow. Could be in line for a precedent-setting contract as he's set to enter free agency after the year. If the Tigers fall further out of contention, they'll have the option of trading the two-time defending AL Cy Young Award winner. The reality is we need to play better baseball or else, said Skubal. Come the deadline, you give the front office an option to reassess where this team is. And if they don't think we have what we have is World Series or playoff caliber team, then the whole team got to look different. That's just the nature of the beast. The Tigers are 9.5 games back of the White Sox right now in the Central at 30-44. Somehow, that's still within striking distance. Bottom of the division to the top of the division. Tigers need to play better, more inspired baseball if they want to keep Tarek Skubal. But in a contract year, if you're not going to be competing or if the team is not where the front office thinks it should be, maybe it makes a ton of sense because Skubal is the kind of guy, he's an outlier, where that particular kind of asset gets into a contract year, sometimes the values are diminished at the deadline. Short-term rental conversations. But Skubal is a very young, very great investable asset at this stage of his career, and I think he would get a lot in return for the Tigers if they opt to move him at the August 3rd or before the August 3rd deadline. The LA Angels placed center fielder Mike Trout on the 10-day IL yesterday with a right hamstring strain. More bad news. Trout said he suffered the injury while running to first base during Wednesday's win against Arizona. He hit a home run, had three RBIs in the game, and now 34-year-old veteran is on the shelf, 10-day injured list with a right hamstring strain. Other bad news from baseball, Kansas City shortstop, burgeoning young superstar Bobby Witt Jr. left the Royals 14-6 win over the Cardinals yesterday because of right knee discomfort after making a sliding play in the field. Bases loaded in the fourth, Witt went to his knees to prevent Jordan Walker's RBI single from getting to the outfield. Witt was then checked out by Royals staffers before remaining in the game, but did exit later on in the contest with right knee discomfort. And lastly, a couple ugly stories to share. First, from the world of golf. We've chronicled the Phil Mickelson saga lately, and now we got a little bit of a twist here, a little differing opinion, if you will. A lawyer for Lefty says the six-time major winner resigned from a country club near San Diego where he was accused of inappropriate contact with a female employee. Golf Digest last week reported that Mickelson was no longer a member of the Farms Country Club and that the golfer was asked by the club management to leave the course during a round after the employee reported the allegations of misconduct. Tom Clare, a defamation lawyer hired by Mickelson, said the golfer later resigned from the club. The Golf Digest story broke at a low point for Mickelson. He withdrew from the Masters and PGA Championship this year, citing a personal health matter with his family that kept him out of all but one of the 9 LIV golf events for the season. The one major golf tournament that he has eluded him, the U.S. Open, where he's been a runner-up a record 6 times, is happening this weekend, and he's no longer eligible to compete after running out of exemptions. And lastly here, bad news for Major League Baseball, maybe not bad, but tinkering of the entry into the show process. Major League Baseball has proposed widespread changes to their amateur entry system that would cut signing bonuses by more than $150 million annually, make high school players ineligible for the domestic draft, and institute an international draft. Sources told ESPN the proposal made at the collective bargaining meeting with the MLBPA yesterday called for the domestic draft to be shortened from 20 to 12 hard slotted rounds and the amateur signing bonus pool to be nearly halved down to $200 million, according to sources, and the international draft, which would cover all amateur players outside of the United States, Canada, and Puerto Rico, would be 12 rounds with a $200 million bonus pool as well, according to ESPN. Change, hard to swallow. Is it needed? That's up for debate. But the Major League Baseball eyeing some significant change to the entry into their league. And really now, the ugliest of ugly, you got a feel for a goalkeeper trying to make a play last night. Mexico took advantage of a defensive blunder by South Korea to win 1-0 and move to 2-0 and be the first team to advance to the knockout stage of the FIFA World Cup. Team Mexico got the 1-0 win, marks a major triumph for the team, which failed to get out of the group stage in 2022 and now has won twice on home soil in front of jubilant crowds. Luis Romo scored in the 50th minute after South Korea goalkeeper Kim Seong-gu collided with defender Lee Gi-hook and dropped the ball inside the area. Romo easily found the open net after collecting the loose ball. And if you want to watch the film, it is one of those, oh no, car crash coming kind of moments as the goalkeeper too aggressive, running out further into the bigger box. I don't know the technical term, not the goalie box, but the bigger box outside of the goalie box, going out there, hopping up, and then he comes down. Ball is free. Defender there becomes an offensive player, boots into the net, and that ended up being the difference as Team Mexico 2-0. Canada 1-1-0, Team USA 1-0-0, and they're going to be in action in just over 1 hour from Seattle. Again, invest the time, watch it, at least watch the highlights as Team USA going to war against Team Australia coming up in an hour on Fox out in Seattle. That's the latest and greatest in the good, the bad, and the ugly. That is our week of the show. We are efforting several college football personalities to join the show next week as we will work on previewing, from a broad strokes perspective, the Jacks and the Yotes, other MVFC schools, and more. We'll also be talking about some events in our neck of the woods. Before too long, we'll be seeing a big marquee event over the border in Iowa. Thunder in the Valley Outlaw Truck and Tractor Pulling out there in Rock Valley in early July, the 9th, 10th, and 11th. We'll be joined by a couple notable participants in that event and give you an opportunity to win some tickets next week on Overtime. That's our show. We appreciate you listening, tuning in, engaging with us as always. We'll talk to you Monday when the next edition of the show rolls around right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.